Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do we have today?
Here's one from Deborah Pollock.
My mother and I have always been very close, and in 1999, she turned 72, but she didn't look it. She looked about 25 years younger than that, and she was movie star gorgeous. My dad, who was 81 at the time, he loved to show her off, and he would jokingly introduce her as his third wife because she looked so young. Anyway, November that year, I was at my home in Palm Beach, and I happened to notice this large gardenia bush blooming with hundreds and hundreds of blossoms. And the guy who cut my grass comes up to me and he says, "That gardenia bush, I never saw anything like that in November. That's a miracle." And the next day I brought a bowl of gardenias over to my parents' condo in West Palm Beach, but I didn't see them because they were out playing tennis. A few days later, they were walking into a store and a shoplifter collided with my mother, throwing her backwards. Her head hit the pavement, and blood was everywhere. My dad screamed, "Call 911," and knelt beside her. And she looked at him and said, "What's all the fuss about? I just want to go home." And then she lost consciousness. Later at the hospital, my dad and I sobbed together, and he kept blaming himself for not being able to stop what had happened to her. And soon these two doctors come over to us. One was a tall brain surgeon, and the other was a younger trauma surgeon who was from Miami, by the way. Anyway, the brain surgeon says to us, "Well, she has a subdural hematoma. I saw the CAT scan, and her brain was forced into her skull with such a force that it was so bad that it's hopeless, and to operate would be absolutely useless." And the trauma surgeon sadly agreed with him. He said he saw the CAT scan, and at best, my mother would be a vegetable. Well, I started to shake and felt faint, so I kind of hung on to the chair so I wouldn't fall down. And all these horrible emotions were streaming through my body, like fear and shock and, of course, grief. And then all of a sudden, something happened. I became angry and said to the brain surgeon, "You don't know my mother. You operate, and you better do the best job you ever did." And then I threatened the trauma surgeon, "You better make sure he does his best." Anyway, that night I cried instead of sleeping. But around 3 o'clock in the morning, I was drifting off, and I heard a noise like rustling. And I open my eyes, and I see this rosy face of a cherub in the center of these two large angel wings. And the cherub kissed me on the cheek and vanished. And I thought, was this a dream? It just seemed too real. After two surgeries, my mother remained in a coma for 3 months. And she did start to respond to us. And the trauma surgeon from Miami came over to our side and said, "You know something? She just might come back to you." And the other doctors, however, were very, very negative. Of course, it was a terrible time, but throughout the entire ordeal, that gardenia bush bloomed incessantly. And to me, it was a sign of hope. Wonderful people from all religions helped us. For instance, a Catholic woman gave us the card of St. Therese, the little flower. And after about 3 more months with many, many setbacks and arduous therapy in which my mother had to relearn how to do everything, she returned home. And in time, she was able to walk without a walker, eat and drink and talk normally, pay bills, tell jokes, and remember things that we didn't. And the doctor, one of the doctors who was so negative, heard this. He said, that's a miracle. In the following years, my mother took care of my father through his health issues, and after he died, she lived independently. However, eventually, because of aging and other factors, she needed assistance. But now she's 90, and we're so grateful for her. As far as the miraculous gardenia bush, around 3 to 4 years ago, or it could have been 5, it shrunk to less than 10% of its former size, and it withered, and after producing one last tiny gardenia, it died and disappeared into the soil. And of course, this saddened me, but at the same time, its absence makes me realize that somewhere else, someone who desperately needs a miracle is receiving one.
Deborah Pollack with a story about a miracle.
From the moment Deborah opened her mouth and started talking, we felt the love in this story. Not just because she opened it and talking about her relationship with her mother, but in her voice. And so much of storytelling is not what you would see on the page. It's how the story is told non-verbally, whether through expressions, we don't see her expressions because she's on the radio, or through gestures, we don't see them, but we certainly get a huge amount of the communication of this story through the tone of Deborah's voice.
I imagine the gardenias and the smell of the gardenias. That's such a wonderful image.
That's the second really profound thing about this story. Stories are based primarily on two things. Most of us think, oh, story, that's going to be words. A shopping list is words, and directions to the drugstore, those are words too. What makes something a story are two major characteristics. One is emotion, which I already mentioned, and the other is imagery, whether it's visual imagery, olfactory imagery, that smelling, auditory imagery, sound, or any other kind. We want to feel that we're right there with the storyteller, and that image of the gardenia is so strong on so many different levels. It also works as a symbol. And good storytellers ask questions that we don't give answers. So I'm going to try not to pin down any more than our storyteller did what that symbol is, particularly because it could mean something different for everybody. But it certainly is connected with a miracle.
And Deborah paints such a idyllic image of her parents, and then it all turns around with just a fall. Humans are so fragile.
Yes, and her voice represented that beautifully, because we have this bucolic, almost pastoral, almost. We've got the flowers and the family and the love and the garden and the this, and then we've got that trauma. And then we've got this terrible sad news, and it's all kind of delivered in one voice. And then we have Deborah do what good storytellers do. She uses dialogue and a very sharp voice that turns the whole story around. She says, "You are not going to give up on my mother. My mother is not that kind of person, and you are going to work the hardest you can." And then turning, I love when she turns to the other. So instead of saying, "So then, I turned to the neurosurgeon, I turned to the trauma surgeon, and I told them, please take good care of my mother, do the best." No, she made it come as alive as possible. And so that turning point in the story really functioned very well for us as listeners.
And you really felt the love in the family.
Not just the love, but another emotion as well. You felt the humor. You felt the joking. I mean, an 81-year-old man saying, this is my third wife because she looks 25 years younger than she is. I mean, we are on an emotional roller coaster in this story. And happily, the storyteller brings us home safely.
And there's a little mystery. Was that little angel, was that real, or was that her dream?
Again, I am not going to answer the question for the storyteller or for any listener. I think the point is that it came to her. And what difference does it make whether it could be weighed and photographed or whether it came to her in a dream or in her mind? It came to her.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have a story of South Florida they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneile, that's N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.